out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 15th of July 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've had a bit of left-wing terrorism. Not that we don't get left-wing terrorism all the time. I mean, all of these Antifa attacks on people like Andy Ngo and all these violence that they carry out whenever anybody talks about free speech in public. I'm not talking about one of them. I'm talking about a proper terrorist, violent, bloodthirsty, explosive attack took place over the weekend. An Antifa-affiliated terrorist was killed on Saturday morning during an attack on a migrant detention center in Washington state, and his comrades are hailing him as a martyr for their anti-American leftist cause as a result of his failed rampage. A man identified as Willem von Spronson, 69, was killed after tossing incendiary devices towards a migrant detention facility in Tacoma, WA, where he tried to blow up a propane tank. Law enforcement opened fire and killed him before he could do any damage. The terrorist attack happened just hours after a rally took place outside the same detention facility where leftist activists urged for the detention center to be shut down. The media and Democratic politicians have demonized border security and federal officials for months now, and their partisan hate mongering against the rule of law almost created a deadly scene. Well, why have we not heard about that in the international news? We've heard about it in America from some small news organizations. Could you imagine if someone with right-wing politics had turned up at a police station armed, firing at a propane tank, hoping to blow a center up that had, say, some right-wing people locked up in there in the cells? That would be international news, and there would be calls to shut down websites and everything that encouraged nationalist thought. And yet we are hearing nothing about this. There's no calls to shut down the mainstream media for encouraging these Antifa terrorists. Their violence just does seem to continually escalate. It goes from punching Richard Spencer to throwing milkshakes with concrete mix in there to chemical warfare, throwing chemicals at people, using flamethrowers at Charlottesville, beating people with iron rods, baseball bats. And now here we have somebody trying to blow up a detention center, and yet still no calls for Antifa to be proscribed as a terrorist organization by anybody else other than nationalists. Come on, Trump. He really needs to get a handle on this situation before even more violence occurs and people start being killed by them. Anyway, that's not really the main stories that I wanted to talk about today. I just really wanted to bring that to people's attention. And we've actually got stories from all over the world to get into. That was an American one there. We've got a British one here. Now, I've talked about the foreigners in the NHS before and how 72% of all the doctors that are struck off for gross incompetence are also foreign. Now, this report comes out in the Daily Mail, and it's about cases of sexual misconduct with patients, where the patients have been sexually abused. And it turns out that foreign-trained doctors commit 6 in 10 cases of sexual misconduct with patients, even though they make up only a third of NHS medics. Shock new figures reveal. So they're twice as likely to sexually abuse their patients than white doctors are. And notice here that they're being very careful not to actually call these doctors foreigners. They just say, oh, it's because they're foreign trained. Obviously, there must be something in the hospitals where they're being trained, which is encouraging them to abuse their patients. That's what's implied here. Rather than, of course, what we know the reality is, that these people come from cultures where it's encouraged and where it's not looked down upon to sexually abuse women that don't have a male accompanying them, basically. In some of these cultures, it's seen as okay to abuse children, particularly places like Afghanistan. And then we get these doctors over here in Britain, and they just take advantage of the women. They take advantage of the fact that they're in an intimate situation with a woman that needs to take her clothes off or whatever, and they start filming it. Some of them start groping them. Some of them start asking them out. We've even had cases of rape where patients have been raped by these doctors and also by the nurses. There was one in America last year with this foreign nurse had actually been raping this woman that was comatose. And nobody discovered this until she actually gave birth to a mulatto. And they DNA tested the mulatto baby and traced it back to this Mexican nurse that was there. So this is a risk that you take when you're seen by a foreign doctor. And of course, on Aryan Britannia a couple of weeks back, I talked about this patient in Britain who had asked to be able to see a white doctor, and he was accused of being a racist for this, and it made national news that somebody had dared to ask to see a white doctor. And yet it's a perfectly reasonable request when you look at the statistics of the harm that these foreign doctors can cause, particularly if you're a woman and you've got something wrong with you, and the doctor needs to feel to see if there are any lumps there or whatever, and the doctor is getting some kind of sexual thrill out of it because he's a non-white pervert. And yet if that white woman were to say, well, I would rather be seen by a white doctor because there is less chance of me being sexually abused, she'd get accused of being a racist. She'd get thrown out of the hospital and banned from being seen by the hospital, as what happened in this case that I talked about a couple of weeks back. The patient that said he wanted to see a white doctor, he was then banned from ever coming back to the hospital. And yet this is just legitimate risk aversion. It's not racist to be saying you would rather be seen by a white doctor. It's risk aversion, that the statistics show us that you are much safer seeing a white doctor. Getting back to this article, the foreign doctors accounted for 23 out of 38 proven incidents in the past 3 years, according to figures obtained by the Mail on Sunday. Allegations include indecent behaviour, sexual assault, and even rape. So that's 38 proven incidents. I wonder how many alleged incidents there were that weren't actually investigated because the doctor was foreign, and that would be racist. Because what this article is also pointing out is that the NHS thinks that this must be being caused by racism, that these foreign doctors are doing this. So they don't want them to be investigated. It's the same as in the prison service, where we've got more blacks in prison. I think it's something like 10 times as many blacks, young offenders in young offender institutions as their percentage of the population, and we're being told, well, that must be because the courts are racist. So judges have been told not to hand out prison sentences to young blacks, basically, to get these numbers down. And they're now doing the same at the NHS. The alarming statistics have emerged just as the NHS has introduced targets to reduce the numbers of black and ethnic minority staff, almost two-thirds of whom trained abroad, being hauled before disciplinary hearings. So they think it's racism So even though these cases are proved incidents, they still think it's racism. Britain's 95,000 doctors from black and minority ethnic backgrounds are more than twice as likely to be referred to the GMC as their white colleagues. And there is a similar pattern with other staff, such as nurses. Well, the common sense way to look at that is to say, well, obviously they're twice as likely to make mistakes. They're obviously only half as good as their white colleagues. That's the logical result of hearing that, is to think, well, they're only half as good as their white colleagues. Not to think, well, their white colleagues must all be racist, they must all just be picking on them. NHS Chief People Officer, whatever does that mean? Prirana Issa, well, that's a nice British name, isn't it? Who recently joined from the United Nations, wrote, "It is not acceptable that if you come from some backgrounds, you are more likely to enter the formal disciplinary process, stay in it longer, and have more career-limiting outcomes. We must change this, and quickly." Yes, it's not acceptable. They have to buck their ideas up. They have to stop trying to rape the white patients, and they have to stop making so many mistakes. I mean, that's what you say when you hear something like this. You don't say, well, it's not acceptable, so what we'll do is we'll prevent them from actually being investigated and just let them get off, which is what this woman is basically advocating for. A new document gives NHS trusts what it calls aspirational goals to reduce the likelihood of black and minority ethnic staff being referred for disciplinary action, so the rates are more in line with white staff. So they're going to have targets. So they're going to say to them, well, you can only have 10 black doctors investigated for raping. And if there are any more than 10 doctors investigated for it, then we're going to accuse you of racism. So that means another 10 doctors, black doctors, are going to get away with it, doesn't it? I mean, that is the only outcome that we can get from this. It's not going to prevent these black doctors from doing this, is it? There is a concern that setting arbitrary targets could let medics who pose a real threat to patients escape investigation. J. Marion Thomas, a retired consultant surgeon who worked in the NHS for 30 years, said, "Complaints of sexual misconduct and other matters against doctors should be assessed irrespective of ethnicity. Applying any other criteria risks that some complaints may not be properly investigated." Well, thank God for J. Marion Thomas there, who's bringing the light of truth to this. And obviously, he's a British guy. British name there. A recent GMC report found no evidence of racial bias in its disciplinary procedures. Instead, it suggested that not enough was being done to help black and minority ethnic doctors, with some feeling isolated or as if they were treated as outsiders. Well, if they don't speak English very well, of course they're going to feel isolated. And if they're black, of course they're going to be treated as outsiders, because they are outsiders. They're from a completely different race that originates on a completely different continent. You can't just change people's instincts, and those instincts are there for very good reasons. Those instincts are there to protect us, and those instincts are correct. That's what this proves. If they are twice as likely to be had up for sexual misconduct, then the instincts which say that these people should be isolated and treated as outsiders are valid instincts. They're valid instincts that are there to protect us, and this article proves that. And yet they ignore all of that and say, oh, we must just be picking on the black guys. An NHS spokesman said, "Where allegations are made, it is right that they are thoroughly investigated and any appropriate action taken, regardless of someone's ethnicity or where they trained. But it is also right that all NHS staff feel they will be treated fairly and not face discrimination, which is what this guidance sets out to achieve." And why is it that black and minority ethnics might feel that they won't be treated fairly and they might face discrimination? Well, it's because of all this nonsense out there that says that the only reason why they don't do as well as whites is because we are picking on them. We don't say to them, well, actually, you've got a low average IQ. That's why you don't do so well in the qualifications. That's why there aren't so many of you at Oxford and Cambridge. That's why there aren't so many of you in the top job positions, is because you've got a much lower average IQ. We don't say that. We say, well, the only reason why you don't have these top jobs is because Whitey is keeping you down. And here they're saying, oh, no, it's not that you're much more likely to sexually abuse patients. It must be because, again, the white people are just picking on you and discriminating against you. So the best way to get these NHS staff to feel they're going to be treated fairly and not face discrimination is to point out the facts of the matter and say, well, that is your problem. That is a problem that is associated with your race. It's nothing to do with white people picking on you. It's the same with crime. The fact that they are far more likely to carry out crimes. If they were to say that to them, then they wouldn't be feeling like they're facing discrimination when there are so many more of them in prison than their percentage of the population. I mean, the real way to prevent them from facing discrimination and feeling that they're treated fairly is to send them back to the country where they came from, so they're just among their own people and there's no chance whatsoever for them to face racism if they're in a 100% black country, is there? The figures on sexual misconduct were obtained under the Freedom of Information Act following such high-profile cases as Czech-trained Anoush Babu, who spent years secretly filming female patients. Now, notice the way they point out there that, oh, this Anoush Babu, who was obviously black, he was trained in Czechoslovakia, so it must be something to do with the Czechoslovakian training institution that led him to secretly film all his female patients. I mean, they can't even point the truth out in this article, and that's just a slur on the Czechs. We've actually got a couple of these foreign perverts that they've listed. Among them are Anoush Babu, who trained in Prague and who secretly filmed female patients under examination over years working at NHS hospitals in Surrey and Berkshire. Tahir Altai, an Iraqi-trained doctor, took 19,000 images by secretly filming female patients over 6 years at his Tyneside surgery. He was caught when a patient noticed mobile phones propped up on his desk and near the examination area. Cyprian Okuro, who trained in Nigeria, sent naked pictures of himself to a patient on WhatsApp after pestering her for sex. And of course, that's just a drop in the ocean. That is a drop in the ocean, and there are far worse cases of these black doctors and non-white doctors properly sexually abusing their patients, not just taking pictures of them. So that's really covering it up, just to list those three there. But there we go, that is the Daily Mail. Well, moving over to Italy, we've got another news story here concerning the hero, Matteo Salvini. Italian Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of the Interior, Matteo Salvini, has expressed anger after the city of Paris granted a medal and €100,000 in cash to migrant transport ship Captain Carola Racket and the Sea-Watch NGO. I mean, that's just incredible. This woman is a human trafficker. She's broken the law in Italy, and you've got Paris patting her on the back, granting her a medal, and sending her €100,000. Miss Racket, who was arrested earlier this month after forcing her ship into Italian territorial waters and ramming a patrol vessel in order to land black migrants on the island of Lampedusa, was honoured by the city of Paris and given honorary citizenship by the city's local government, Il Giornale reports. Now, she wasn't just picking these blacks up a few miles from Lampedusa where they were having problems with their ship. She went right up to the beach, right up to the Libyan beach, picked these people up from within sight of the Libyan beach. Obviously, still the ship was in the water, but well within Libyan waters. And then performed a ferry service, taking them back to Lampedusa, all explicitly against the law. I mean, Italy has said, no, you are not landing any of your ships carrying a human cargo on any of our territory. It's against the law to do that. That's human trafficking. We don't want to encourage this. And this isn't even an Italian woman. This is a German woman that's done this, that's broken the law there. And she's being hailed as a hero for doing it in Paris. And it's not like, one of the things that Salvini points out is that these migrants are just going to stay in Italy. And this is the same as these Israel Aid or whatever it's called, the Israeli migrant NGO that goes out and picks up foreigners and helps to bring them into Greece, yeah, and doesn't actually bring them into Italy. And it's disgusting that these people from other countries will try and help foreigners to invade other people's countries. They won't help them into their own, they'll help them to invade other people's countries. The council released a statement saying it is a choice to highlight the important action of humanitarian organisations to help migrants. So human traffickers are humanitarian organisations now, are they? I mean, this woman is obvious. She's being paid to do this. She's just been sent 100,000 euros from Paris. She's being paid by the NGO to go out in a ship and pick these invaders up and ferry them into Europe. That is human trafficking. Also honoured was Rackets. I mean, that's a pretty good name for her, isn't it? Because that's what this is, a racket. Also honoured was Rackets fellow Sea-Watch captain and fellow German national, Pia Klimp, who potentially faces 20 years in an Italian prison on charges of aiding illegal migration. And who do these women think they are to just flout the law like that? The Paris government also donated 100,000 euros to Sea-Watch to help fund further missions off the coast of Libya in the so-called search and rescue zone. Why has Europe got a search and rescue zone just off the coast of Libya? I mean, that is Libya's responsibility. If the Libyan Coast Guard can't go out there and pick them up when their vessels are in trouble, which is, you know, that's the scam that they pull. They say, oh, these vessels are in trouble. They're about to sink. We need to be rescued. Well, the Libyan Coast Guard needs to go and rescue them. And if the Libyan Coast Guard can't do that, then these NGOs should just be picking these people up, taking them back to Libya. They would soon stop trying to invade Europe if people were to start doing that. Several French MPs also signed a document praising the two captains, stating the arrest of these two women and the judicial proceedings against them have raised outrage across borders. Neither they nor their crews nor the NGOs that own the boats may be subject to sanctions for humanitarian actions. Well, why not? Why are they not subject to the same laws as everybody else? They think they're above the law? Do they have diplomatic immunity? What they're doing is human trafficking. Deputy Prime Minister Salvini reacted to the Paris government's move with fury, saying the municipality of Paris awards Carola Rackett, prosecuted in Italy, with a medal. This is the one driving a boat that broke the law and crushed a patrol boat against the dock of Lampedusa. The municipality of Paris evidently has nothing better to do than reward these subjects, he added. So they weren't just bringing in these invaders, aiding and abetting the invasion of Europe, but they actually rammed one of these Italian patrol boats that was trying to get them to keep the law and not dock at Lampedusa. Salvini went on to slam the Italian courts, saying that Italy had become a strange country that investigates ministers and frees young ladies who attack patrol boats. Rackett has hit back against Salvini, filing a lawsuit this week against the populist leader for defamation and arguing that the judiciary should remove Salvini's social media accounts, claiming the minister uses them to spread hate messages. I mean, this is the interior minister of Italy. Obviously, what he says on his Twitter is not illegal in Italy. What right does this German woman have to start filing complaints in the Italian judiciary, trying to get the interior minister's social media account shut down? And just the gall of these people interfering in other people's affairs in their countries You know, and we're told that Russia meddles in the American election. All these leftists ever do is meddle in other people's countries, especially these NGOs, these human trafficking NGOs. I'm sure Twitter would love to shut down Salvini's social media account. And just hopefully Trump is going to do something about Twitter and Facebook not keeping the constitution of free speech, the law that America was built upon, founded upon. The most important law there is in America, I would say, is that law that guarantees free speech. Obviously, this female here, she doesn't believe in free speech. She thinks that anyone that points out that she's breaking the law, well, they are spreading hate messages. Yeah, hatred against lawbreakers and people that aid the criminal invasion of Europe and aid the rape and murder and drug dealing and child abuse and everything else that's come along with it. The blood of all the white victims of the non-white criminals is on the hands of the government and on the hands of these NGOs. Those terrorist attacks that were carried out by non-whites that came into Europe claiming to be refugees, all those victims, their blood is on the hands of these NGOs and on the hands of this woman and others like her. What are women doing on boats anyway? It was always considered unlucky to have women on fishing boats, having a woman as a captain of a vessel. Obviously, she hasn't brought the vessel very much luck, has she, since she's been locked up and the boat has crashed into a patrol boat. Perhaps they can't get any male captains to aid in human trafficking because the males are too sensible and realise the damage that it's causing throughout Europe. But getting back to this social media account and this calling for Salvini's social media account to be banned, we've also got some news from Donald Trump and his social media account. And Trump has really, really excelled himself today. He's sent a tweet out, which is to this group, which is called The Squad, which is most likely it's called the Squad of Freshman Progressives, which basically means non-white communists. The squad includes Ocasio-Cortez, along with Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and Ilhan Omar. Obviously, they're from the Democratic Party, and the mainstream press is making a big point that out of all four of those, it was only Omar that was born outside the US. She was born in Somalia. But that doesn't take away from the fact that all four of them are non-white. All four of them originate in a country that is not North America. And Trump has sent out a wonderful tweet, the wording of which is this: "So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, that's if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Then come back and show us how it is done. These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements." And that last bit there is particularly funny because they've been accusing Pelosi of being racist against them. And I mean, what's wrong with Trump saying that? Trump is being accused of being a racist for saying this. But the fact is, that's where those people came from. They didn't originate in America. They may be second generation immigrants, but they're still immigrants. They still came from non-white countries that are the most worst, corrupt, inept anywhere. And the countries are a complete and total catastrophe. And yet they have the cheek to start demanding America bend its ways to theirs. And if you listen to these people, then white countries are just going to turn out just the same as Somalia, aren't they? I mean, Somalia is the way that it is because it's full of Somalians. And you now got one Somalian in the American administration. You got more of them. It's just going to look more like Somalia. Parts of Minnesota already look like Somalia, and Mogadishu. That's all that happens. If you start importing Africans, your country will just turn into Africa. So that's great of Donald Trump to send that tweet out. That's a really, really good way to start the week, I think. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.